Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
When I was in the Navy, what?
Never mind.
What?
Why? Okay. I'm burying your kids.
You know, the Navy was over in the Marines. You know that, right?
Yes, it was.
Y'all have a leader. It was the CNO, the Chief of Navy Operations.
Yes, we are the Department of the Navy.
Of the Navy, which was under the Navy, right? The under
No, we were right alongside you as another department.
Y'all were in the bottom of the boat.
You helped us get where we needed to go.
Right.
We were very grateful.
Anyway, so when I was in the Navy, when we were boot camp, the first thing that we had to do in the Navy in regards to water, because for some reason they wanted you to know your relationship to water was important.
It's probably important
in the Navy.
In the middle of the open sea.
Yes. And so you think they would want to know if you could swim or not. But what they really wanted to know was, can you float?
Yeah.
No, I can float better than I did back then. Back then I was a little thinner. I think I had like a 28-inch waist.
Wow.
I still do, but I just got padding around.
Yeah, it's still there.
But yeah, it was 28-inch, something like that. Isn't that amazing? And so, but you had, which means I had nothing to help me float.
Right.
Right. So you had to get in the water.
You had to be very confident on the surface.
Yeah. And you had to tread water in one place. You would think that, can you swim? But that wasn't the issue. The issue was, can you tread water? Because it doesn't matter if you can swim. Some people could swim, but they couldn't stay. They couldn't tread water.
That's
they would
very
just
true.
Sink. They would sink like an anchor. I have a cousin. I have a cousin, man. It's the twins, right? And we were swimming, and they jumped in the pool, and he could not swim. He had no body fat on him. Just straight muscle. He jumps into the pool and just goes straight to the bottom, right?
That's right.
And so we're looking for Trent, trying to find out where he's at. And he's walking around on the bottom of the pool. It's like, he's walking on the bottom of the pool. He never could swim, so you had to walk around. This is how my dad taught me to swim. We're walking out on this is a side note. We're walking out on a pier. We used to live on Pensacola Beach. Mm-hmm. We used to live on Panferio Drive on Pensacola Beach, right by a flying saucer house. And Dad and I are walking out on this like 3 foot wide dock and over the Bay of Pensacola. And you know, you're compassionate, caring dad, right?
He's concerned about the welfare and safety of his children.
I felt so safe by my father, right? And so we're walking out, and all of a sudden Dad goes, "Can you swim?" And I said, "Yeah." You know, just saying, I don't think I could or whatever. He kicks me over in the water. He's like, kicks me in the water.
He wanted to know.
My dad kicked me in the water, right? And obviously, I found out I could swim.
That's very good.
And so he was helping. Thanks, Dad. He was helping me out. But you got to, if you really care about your kids, you want to get them in close to the water, find out, you know, teach them how to swim if they can't
build
swim.
Build confidence in the water.
Thank God I was able to swim. No, I'm messing with you. So, but when we got in the Navy, you had to be able to tread water. And the reason why, it doesn't matter what you accomplish in the water, at some point you're going to get tired. I don't care if you're Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't know who else.
It's harder. The more muscle you have, the harder it is. You have to be very confident, because we did that. We had to do the same testing in boot camp. And then,
are you saying that the Marines have more muscle than
No. I'm saying in regards to, regardless of who you are,
right.
You know, you're talking about just body composition. It's just like strong people have sometimes a harder time because all their muscles are going and they can get a cramp or whatever. And if you had to tread water for a long time, you're going to find out how confident you are.
I think Pat just told me it's correct.
Yes.
He told me it's correct. He's always talking about how fit he is.
Yes, he
great?
Is.
We know, Pat, you've been working out, but we're more joyful. Jolly.
Yes.
Be jolly. We're more jolly. Well, the reason why we're saying this is because you got to learn how to be able to be contented in life. This generation has been sold a bill of goods that you can do anything, you can go anywhere. It's true. But you first have to learn how to tread life. You got to learn how to be able to pay your bills. I mean, there's so many people that are wanting this huge mobile phone, for example, or this computer. And it's like, I mean, you don't even know what a power bill is, much less how to pay one yet.
Yeah.
Or they're complaining about a minimum wage job, for example, but they're not even doing the job that they're getting paid the minimum wage for. And so they're being told, nobody's being told that you got to learn how to be faithful in the mundane things. Is that once you understand how to tread water, you tread life, then at that point, you can start, you know, experimenting and trying a new business concept or, you know, trying new adventures. All along, though, you have to maintain the rent. You got to be able to make the payments. You got to be able to put gas in your car. Because so many people right now are trying this and trying that. They're overspending themselves. And when they stop, when they slow down, they crash. They lose everything. They lose their house. They lose their car. They lose their families being put out in the street. They're calling you up going, hey, can I come stay with you? No, you can't. You know, you're going to have to learn how to tread some water in your life. You got to be able to tread. And I think about this, that, you know, the people that run after, you know, great wealth, and you got Timothy right there, and Paul's writing to Timothy talking about this. And he says, those folks that end up doing that end up falling to darkness. It's not about the most successful folks in life are the ones who actually sustain life over the long haul. That, you know, people say, well, that's not exciting. Well, it's a lot more exciting than you being kicked out on the street 15 times because you quit not paying your bills and the landlord has to go down and file paperwork on you to be able to have you removed out of a place because you haven't been faithful over your rent. Get a job that's conducive to your taking care of your responsibilities. And if it does that, you'll be thankful for the job. You know, adjust your life to the income that God's entrusting with you and be faithful to God with that. Being faithful to God and learning to be content is someone who learns how to tread life. And they understand it's like, you know what? I can try this, I can try that, but you know, I'm making sure that my family has a home. I'm making sure that we have food on the table. I'm making sure the car not only has gas in it, but it has a motor that works and the oil is changed and these things are maintained. The best testimony you can have in your life is to be able to tread life.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
William Wilberforce, born in wealth and influence, came to believe slavery was a national crime for which all Englishmen were responsible. He wrote,
"In the scripture, no national crime is condemned so frequently and few so strongly as oppression and cruelty," citing Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Amos, ultimately igniting an unprecedented movement to abolish slavery in the British Empire.
John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, associated with the abolitionist movement and William Wilberforce, was written by a former slave trader who became an Anglican minister.
Newton wrote the now famous hymn while working on a sermon on 1 Chronicles 17. On July 26, 1833, the Slavery Abolition Act was passed, just 3 days before the death of William Wilberforce.
Engage with the Bible and its influence over the centuries.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, adjust your life to the income that God's entrusting with you and be faithful to God with that. Being faithful to God and learning to be content is someone who learns how to tread life. And they understand it's like, you know what? I can try this, I can try that, but you know, I'm making sure that my family has a home. I'm making sure that we have food on the table. I'm making sure the car not only has gas in it, but it has a motor that works and the oil is changed and these things are maintained. The best testimony you can have in your life is to be able to tread life, to be able to learn how to be faithful in season. And we have things happen, you know, things happen, but a lot of times they're happening because we don't tread. We don't learn how to be content with no matter what we have. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he talks about it. What does Paul say to Timothy?
He says, those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves.
So you're saying that if your boss is a believer, you're not supposed to take advantage of him or her.
No, no.
You're not supposed to expect special treatment because you both are brothers or sisters in the Lord, right? You're supposed to actually treat them even with greater honor and greater respect.
Greater honor, that's right.
Because whatever how we do treat the least of these of God's, we're treating him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see master, you think about employer. When you see slave, think about employee. And it's like, this is how we're supposed to be. And he's talking about, hey, we're supposed to be good employees. What else did he say?
These are the things that you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they're conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain.
So they're pursuing God and the things of God because they're trying to increase their wealth. They're trying to make more money. I mean, how many people, if you preach, you know, the money gospel, as they say, if you preach on finance, people will pile up and listen all day long. If you preach to me how I can get rich. Now, God doesn't mind you having things, but he minds things having you. And the case right now, obviously, with 97% of the church in America, according to George Barna, are robbing from God and his tithes and offerings. Yeah. It's not about more money. It's about us being faithful with what we have. And it's not a mean to financial gain. But you're looking at somebody who has a strife in their life all the time. They're always just contentious and they're arguing like, did you pay your rent? Well, what do you mean by that? I pay my rent. Like, did you give the money to the man who built that house? That type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And they're just arguing and they're just trying to they file their taxes in a way that they're hoping they don't get caught, but they're being deviant, trying to hide things. And they're just thinking about, what do I get back from my taxes? Mm-hmm. Instead of just like, you know, do what you got to do and trust God.
Simple things.
Yeah. Trust in God. As a matter of fact, be content. That's what he talks about next. Yeah. I think he talks about that.
He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
And that's so important because it's not just being content, but it's pursuing a life that's godly. That's like, you know, I want to live in accordance to the teachings of Jesus. I might not do it perfectly, but I'm pursuing that.
Yeah.
If I'm pursuing that and I'm also living a contented life with those two things together, you know, a pursuit of godliness, you know, in your life and contentment, it doesn't matter what happens with things. It just really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, things go up, things go down, markets go up, markets go down, nations rise, nations fall, but God is forever. And by focusing on him and being content in that, I'm telling you, I mean, there's a lot less stress.
Oh, yes.
You're more joyful. You know, that it's amazing how much better life is. And what else does he say about that?
It says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that.
Well, doesn't it have to be a name brand clothing?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, it has to be a certain kind of shoe. I mean, there is no shoe worship going on in society today, is there?
Just a little bit.
Is that who would have ever thought that somebody actually would be worth shipping their shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what? That's just wild. But they do use. I've seen people walk around like penguins, crippled penguins. And I'm like, I need to pray for healing for you. And what it was is they were actually trying not to scuff up their shoes. I thought they were deformed, but they just needed they didn't want their shoes to be scratched.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not crazy?
It does happen.
Because you can get new shoes.
Yes, you can.
Probably even got them shoes.
They made the very shoes that you wear. They made a few copies of those.
I'd say so.
Yes.
Okay.
He says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction.
There's so many people like, hey, I got this great new scheme. It's only going to cost you $125. Well, are you making any money in it? No, but they told me I'm going to be real rich one day. Like, come back and talk to me when you're actually making some money. Show me some checks. But, you know, you notice that the same folks are going after the same thing over and over again. And they actually come back to you again with the next scheme after the last scheme fell.
No ideas.
And it's like, you get in a clue here, and it's like inside of them, they're miserable because they're always running after more money. And Jesus says you can at least serve God or you can serve money, but you can't serve them both.
Can't serve both.
And when you serve God, God's going to take care of you. If he doesn't give you money, he'll provide for you the food that you would have had to actually spend. I know somebody with God, they didn't have the money to buy the house, but God just gave them the house. Mm. I know somebody that didn't make enough money to buy this particular house, so they lowered the price of the brand new house in half.
That's
so they can have a brand new house.
Yes, it did.
Cars, I mean, God can take care of you. So I think it's important for us to understand he's talking about treading life, just being faithful and content with godliness in your life. That's treading.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good things can happen in the context of that, but you still got to tread. You still got to be able to float in the context of that.
Even as you say treading, I think about just the simplicity of budgeting. And it's just like you're talking about that awareness of all the things that flow into your life have to be flown out. And without that simple understanding of how things work, how things don't work, they don't teach that anymore. And that simple
wisdom would be taught,
but imagine how many people you're going through college. When I graduated college, I was amazed that that wasn't taught. You had to take an elective to learn it. And even then it was like a 5-minute conversation.
Right.
And it's just like, these are the simple things as a nation. If we would understand, it's just like being able to be faithful, to be able to tread, to be able to understand how things work, the simple things. Cause when rent doesn't get paid, the outcome isn't very nice.
It's really strange what happens.
All my furniture goes away and
it's
and
awkward.
Some reason, yeah.
So we're sitting out here on the street now. What do you think we should do from here? And so there are like Crown Financial and some other things. Budgeting is a real great example of that, because the reason why people don't budget, because they don't want to know. And they think if I stay ignorant, you know, then this ignorance
doesn't really exist. Right. It's not really happening.
That presently only works in Washington, but it's fixing to crash. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's happening right now in Washington.
But think about that. Is Washington, is the financial situation.
We're $18 trillion in debt.
But think about this.
If we could print money, I guess it would work.
Right. Yeah. Is the financial situation happening is because our leadership, what's happening in Washington is a reflection of our hearts. So the question is what's going on in Washington right now simply a reflection of what is happening of how we perceive finances?
Or is what's happening in Washington what's reflecting what's happening in the people?
Right.
Because these officials come from the people.
Exactly.
You know, they're elected from amongst us. And you know, when we look at a government and tell them, hey, you know, you need to create a democratic socialist government like some other people are talking about, they're saying you need to be able to provide for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. And it's like, why? Because you haven't taken care of your needs.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm telling you, you can trust God. I mean, everything's not perfect, but you can have a peace and a contentment, and you can tread. When other people, they get all excited, and they dive off high dives, and they swim real rapidly, and they're boasting about how they're swimming, just hold on. Watch them. Over time, they cannot hang. They're going to sink. They're going to sink because they didn't build their foundation on Jesus Christ. They didn't understand that you got to be faithful to God, walking with the Lord, which means you're repented and you're walking with God. You're abiding with him. You're having that firm foundation. Treading in the Lord is when you're actually having an abiding relationship with God, where you're spending time with him and you're hearing what he has to say. And if you don't know how to do that, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org, iabide.org. You got to learn how to tread in your relationship with God and in this society when you're walking, and you can do that. And a lot of people want to do it. They just don't have a plan to do it. And we have one for you at iabide.org. And when you do that, God's going to empower you and tell you what you need to do here, what you need to do there to be able to stay afloat. And this, and it's going to get even rockier. I mean, some real tough waves are going to come. I mean, prophetic waves are coming that are huge. And you can actually be sustained, and you can tread during the seasons that's coming because God will keep you afloat. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to parents today about the very important distinction between childish irresponsibility and willful defiance. Let me explain. Suppose little Chris is acting silly in the living room and he falls into a table, breaking some expensive china cups. Or maybe he loses his books on the way home from school or leaves his bike out in the rain. Now, these are acts of childish irresponsibility, which are just inevitable during the early years. Forgetting things and losing things and spilling things do not represent direct challenges to authority, and they should be handled very gently. On the other hand, when a child stamps her little foot and tells her mom or dad to shut up, something very different is going on. She's moved into the realm of willful defiance. It occurs when the child knows what the parent wants, but she clenches her little fist, digs in her heels, and prepares for a battle. See, it's a refusal to accept parental leadership. When this kind of nose-to-nose confrontation occurs, a firm response is in order. Why? Because the question being asked is, who's in charge here? If a parent equivocates at that moment, a strong-willed child will precipitate other battles designed to ask that same question again and again. That's just the way he or she thinks. So it's the ultimate paradox of childhood that a youngster wants to be led, but demands that the parent demonstrate the courage to lead.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
David, right?
Yes.
David, King David, before he was king, he was somebody who understood how to tread. How to tread water. Simple things. He was faithful in the mundane things. Even when he knew his future, even when he knew that God was going to use him to be a king over Israel, he had no problem going back to work and doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. It's like, I know you're going to be something, but right now you need to do something. You know, you need to be a doer of this job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to get authority. I know you got all this authority that you're talking about, but you need to get this authority over a sink full of dirty dishes in this restaurant here, and you got to do these dishes, clean them up good. And so David took care of the father's business. I mean, if you do this, what is he talking about? But listen, there's a lot of people who don't understand this. They don't understand that dishes get clean because you actually touch them and you wash them, or you put them in a dishwasher, and they don't know that you actually had to pay for the dishwasher, and they don't realize through how hot water actually touches the dishes in the dishwasher, that you pay to put a hot water heater in, that you paid the power company to keep that thing hot. They don't know all this yet, so we have to talk about this. They don't really realize how food gets on the table. They just show up and demand more.
It just appears.
Yeah, they're like, oh, give me some more shoes. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, isn't it?
Until they have to pay for it with their own money. Yeah. They're like, whoa, hey.
It's amazing how cheap they get when they get that point. No, I'll just take those Kmart brackets. Anyway, but David was faithful. He was faithful. And I think about, you know, how God just took this faithful man and said, listen, because you've been faithful over a few things, over his father's small flock of sheep, so much so that his brothers ridiculed him. It's like, look at you and your few sheep. And it's like, hey, but I'm being faithful over these few sheep. While you're hiding behind a rock here, brother, and scared of Goliath, that I'm being faithful over these things. And he was just faithful what God entrusted to him. He dealt with a lion. He fought the lion and he won. He fought the bear and he won. So he progressively grew in his knowledge because he learned how to tread life. You have to tread before you can swim. It doesn't matter how much you can swim and how far you can go, and how, I don't care how many doctorates you have after your name or how much education or student loans you got over your head. Do you actually know how to do something?
Yeah.
And you think about that, man. How many times when we went to college and the universities, and you're thinking, like, I always would think, like, so if you're teaching me business and you're not doing business, I mean, if this is so good, why aren't you doing business?
Yeah.
If these theories really work, if managerial finance produces this kind of, and you always wonder, like, how come that's
why
not?
And
it's the people
that focus on it.
And I think this culture today is about, I want to learn and be mentored by someone who's actually doing it.
Yeah. And it is amazing as you're saying that. And it's such an accurate perspective as you're talking about the Navy in the beginning in regards to getting so focused ahead. A lot of people put so much emphasis on those guys that are actually on the front lines of your special forces. Isn't it amazing that the first thing that they do in training is treading water?
First thing.
The first thing that they do to realize, to quote-unquote weed people out,
right,
is treading water.
Right.
You can't do any of that.
Right.
Even regardless of what they end up doing in the military, or like you're saying, what you end up doing in business, it's like, it is amazing how so many are failing because of that simple teaching.
I mean, you're seeing right here, you can see Jonathan Hamilton treading water right here in this picture. that it is so important to be able to just to learn to tread, to tread life. And, and learning these principles that if you're faithful over a few things, you can be found faithful over many. But if you're not faithful over a few things, God's not going to entrust you with more.
Why should you get more?
And tread, I mean, the basic principles of treading life is, how do I maintain my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That is making him the Lord of your life, which means he's the boss, he's the one leading you. Secondly, how do I relate to him? Through an abiding relationship. He says it's impossible to do anything outside of an abiding relationship. That's why we tell you to go to iabide.org and get you a plan. We broke it down so simple so that you can, young folks are having a treading life experience with God. You can tread. And it's so important because the water goes up, the water goes down. But if you can stay afloat, it doesn't matter how high it is or how low it goes. If you're walking on ground one moment, if it's over your head the next, because you're not touching the bottom. You're floating above the circumstances of life. And then in that, you all of a sudden, you got to, you know, begin to pray and believe God for a job, to begin to work. And it really, I mean, people say, well, I got to have this much money. Well, right now you're not making any. So making something's better than making nothing.
That's right.
And doing something's better than doing nothing. And if you're faithful with that, then you can be trusted with more.
Mm-hmm.
Every business is looking for someone to promote into places of leadership, into places of supervision. They're not against that. They want that to happen. But you got to ask yourself, how come I'm not a candidate for that? Mm-hmm. Am I not being faithful what they told me to do? To know that vision of that company, to know the direction of that company, to understand the heartbeat of the founder of that business, that ministry, what God has called them to do. That's how you'll know. They're looking to promote you. But if you can't tread water, they know, no matter how good you are, that you're going to sink the moment tragedy hits, the moment something happens, that you don't have that solid relationship. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to learn how to tread. I don't care if you're a Marine. I don't care if you're a sailor. I don't care where you are, you got to first learn how to tread water before you swim. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I just thank you for the wisdom that we have in your word and through learning from those that have gone before us, God. I pray for each and every one that's hearing this word, that's seeing this word, that they would begin to think about, you know what? I'm going to quit thinking these big things right now, and I just want to learn how to swim. I want to learn how to tread water. I want to learn how to be faithful in the small things and the mundane things. And allow you to promote me, because all promotions come from you, God. I want to learn how to tend the small flock. I want to learn how to fight the lion. I want to learn how to fight the bear before I'm talking about this big talk about defending and fighting Goliath, for example. Lord, I pray for each and every one, God, that you would touch them and encourage them, God, and just increase their abiding time with you, God. Lord, we just ask you for this. Lord, we also ask you, Lord, to end abortion, send revival, send the third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.